This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
A little bit of Leslie Gore. You remember Leslie Gore? My party, I'll cry if I'd like to. Hey, this is my show. I'll cry if I want to cry on my show. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my friend and my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us this Monday, September 16th. In a few minutes, Trey Kovacs of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's going to be here, and we're going to talk about an attempt to stifle independent contractors in California. The legislature there, they want to force businesses to make contractors employees, not be independent, thereby giving these contractors access to company benefits they wouldn't get otherwise. So the question is, is that the right thing to do? Is it fair? How would it work out? You will find out in a few minutes. And, hey, why is the media resurrecting this Brett Kavanaugh sex harassment thing all of a sudden? What's going on here? The New York Times has resurrected it, dug it out of the ground, and they are now eating egg this morning because of it. And we're going to tell you why. And a black journalist tells us why Donald Trump is not a racist, and he makes some pretty good points, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the thing that you really tune in for, to be honest, the top 10 cheapest states to buy a home. The top 10 cheapest states to buy a home. Ed, I gave you the wrong top 10 information. You're going to have to revise it. We have a podcast, and Ed is good enough to put our shows on podcast. Thank the Lord, because we have so many people, and I'm not kidding, that always ask me, Ed, about the podcast.
And I was just, as you were saying that, I'm like, that's not what he just told me 5 minutes ago.
I told him it would be the top 10 best states to retire to.
I was thinking I missed a meeting between 5 minutes ago and now. I didn't get that email.
You didn't get the memo. You were not in the meeting, Ed. You were out goofing around. Yep. If you were in the meeting, you would have known we changed the top 10. So I have to tell them on the air. You know, it's the okay, the top 10 cheapest states to buy a home. You know what? If you're going to retire, it also probably it would warrant you to know about the top 10 cheapest states to buy a home. You don't have as much money to live on when you retire, you know? Anyway, that's what it's all about. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. And I mean, I've been to a lot of them over the years, and this is the best. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza. You won't see it right away when you're driving down 580. Let me tell you where it is. It's right at the, it's just north of the intersection of Main Street 580 and Overcash Drive. It's actually behind, I think it's a pizza place, right on the corner, but it's a beautiful little
Papa John's.
Papa John's, yes. Pizza place. So if you see the Papa John's, you're going to go north on Overcash Drive. Anyway, when you get in there, you are going to be glad you found it. You are going to be very glad you found it. Best haircut in Tampa Bay, and the price cannot be beat. The price cannot be beat. And also, the ambiance. You go in there, you just feel so comfortable. It's like putting on a pair of slippers that you've been wearing for years, you know? Just feels so good. You'll get a great haircut. That's the most important thing. And again, Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. So, what is going on here? I was listening this morning to C-SPAN. And you know what their topic was? Wasn't about Iran bombing Saudi Arabia. Wasn't about health care. Wasn't about immigration. It was about the New York Times running a story on Brett Kavanaugh's a new sexual harassment charge. And already the Times has now been forced to turn around and do a 180 on the story. The Times has made a major revision to a supposed bombshell piece last night concerning a resurfaced allegation of a sexual assault by Brett Kavanaugh. Hasn't this, the guy's on the court. The Democrats, and particularly about three or four of them that are running for president, are demanding his impeachment. I cannot think of a better way to reelect Donald Trump than to go down that road. And I mean that. I think people have common sense. They know when something doesn't smell right, and this does not smell right. So the Times suddenly makes a major revision after virtually all of the Democratic presidential candidates pointed to the original article. The update includes a significant detail they left out, that the person that was supposedly sexually harassed by Brett Kavanaugh does not recall it. Now, how can you bring up a charge of sexual harassment and then impeachment when the person that it supposedly happened to says that she doesn't recall it? Did you hear about this, Ed? Did you read about it yet?
No, I'm wondering why you tortured yourself to watch C-SPAN to begin with.
I like C-SPAN in a way. Now, I'm not talking about CNN. I'm talking...
No, I know, but...
You don't like it?
You have to realize that between now and election time, they're going to throw as much stuff against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And no matter what it is.
No, you're right.
They're going to throw everything out there. You know, the rumor about the recession coming, and it's everything. It's, you know, the hurricanes, everything.
No, you know, I think much,
that wall's going to be full. I can tell you that.
But I think it works to the Republicans' favor. I think people are kind of smart, just like we've talked about the immigration thing, mm-hmm. working to the Republicans' favor. The only firsthand statement about this new sexual harassment charge against Kavanaugh comes from a Clinton supporter who said that he saw this take place. Even though the person that it happened to says she doesn't recall it. It comes from a Clinton-connected lawyer. I don't think that's going to hold up too strongly, if you know what I mean. So the Times revises it now. Here's what they say. Editor's note. An earlier version of this article, which was adapted from a forthcoming book by this Clinton-connected lawyer, did not include one element, and that is that friends of Brett Kavanaugh, who said that he, let's just put it this way, exposed himself to a female student at a drunken dorm party, the student herself has declined to be interviewed, and friends say she does not recall the incident. Case closed. Case closed, right there. That's
no,
it.
No, but are you sure? are you really sure?
Yeah. 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 Now tell me, if you were at a party, wouldn't you recall if somebody did what he supposedly not only exposed himself, I'm trying to do this nicely.
Yeah.
But he kind of
pleased himself or something.
No, forced.
Oh, okay.
Nah. Anyway,
okay.
You would remember it.
I would think so,
That
would come up in a couple of conversations.
Yeah, plus, again, we're going back to his high school days. Not that I'm saying if he did do something like that, it wouldn't be bad, but this is ridiculous. This is totally ridiculous. Anyway, we're going to jump to another subject. We're going to wander on to California and find out why they're trying to stifle independent contractors when we talk with Trey Kovacs.
Um,
the Tantalk Radio Network.
Talking Sports moved to Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 4 and joining forces with Knockout Radio to become one. We will continue to talk all sports with a heavy dose of MMA and bare knuckle boxing. The longest running MMA radio show and the longest running sports radio show in Tampa Bay come together every Wednesday from 2 to 4. If you can walk the walk, then listen to us talk the talk. Sponsored by 8 Man Strong and Stafsa.
I'm Lynn About Town. Are you looking for something different for your talk radio? Then tune in to our show, Talk of the Town, every Tuesday night from 5 to 5:30. Stay up to date with what's happening in your Tampa Bay. Hear from my special guests, get the cool event news, or call in to become part of the conversation. Whatever your poison, I promise you, this one won't kill you, but it'll definitely make you feel good. Talk of the Town, where good guys and good news meet. See you Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back and delighted to have Trey Kovacs join us. Trey is a policy analyst at the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington, and we're going to talk with Trey about this move in California by their legislature to curtail independent contractors. Trey, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
I find this to be a very interesting topic, Trey. First of all, there is a bill in the legislature, Assembly Bill 5, that would codify what is known as the ABC test to determine whether or not somebody should be an employee or an independent contractor. Do you mind kind of giving us a little info on that?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. So the ABC test is a three-part test, and to be an independent contractor, you have to pass all three. So A is the worker free from any control or direction from the hiring company? B, is the work that this individual is doing outside the usual course of business of the hiring company? And then C, is the worker really in business for themselves? Meaning, have they established and promoted their independent business? Have they incorporated or, bought any advertisements? Mm-hmm. So that's the gist of the ABC test. And it's pretty much impossible to pass. And so basically what this test does is make employee the default classification for all workers in California. And so that has big implications for workers, meaning if you really want to be independent, you likely can't. But also, that means employers have to worry about minimum wage, overtime, paid leave. They have to track all their hours and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So it's going to impose huge costs on employers as well.
What is the intent of the legislature? Why are they doing this? Is this a Democratic push to hurt businesses? And why would they want to hurt businesses? You would think businesses would, they got enough trouble keeping businesses in California these days. Why would they do this?
Well, so on what they wrote down in the bill is that, one, independent contractors don't receive these workplace protections like I listed, like minimum wage and overtime and things like that. And two, that the misclassification of workers as independent contractors has eroded the middle class and contributed to income inequality. But for the first one, it's really only employees can unionize under federal law. So by making everyone an employee, then they can all unionize, and this is just payback for the billions of dollars that labor unions have given to the Democratic Party over the years. But two, on the front of income inequality, that's really unfounded as well. Many independent contractors make six figures and feel that they're more financially secure as independent workers than traditional employees. And the Census Bureau just came out with new data that shows that the middle class is shrinking, not because people are getting poorer, it's because they're moving into the upper class. So this whole kind of income inequality argument is bogus.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have some personal experience with being an independent contractor over the years. And to be honest with you, I found that my pay increased as an independent contractor because I was not responsible, or I should say I would become responsible for my own certain personal expenses and healthcare and things like that. But my pay increased. I would think, I mean, businesses are going to do what's in their best interest, right? They're going to, if you force these people to become employees, they're going to cut back on the number of independent or the number of people that they would bring into their company and pay. I mean, to me, that would make common sense.
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, kind of the subsegment of the workers that they're really targeting is the gig economy, you know, namely Uber and Lyft. And so if the California legislature believes that Uber and Lyft is just going to let anyone sign up for their service and be a driver, not limit their hours or assign them shifts or control how they work, they're crazy. And this is really harmful in the sense that lots of people are driving for Uber and Lyft for supplemental income, not for their full-time job. And even those workers get caught up in this test because there's no way that they can pass the C part.
No.
They're not their own business. They're just doing this part-time to make a little extra cash.
Sure, but this is going to stifle their being hired, right? And
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to work. It always works against the people it's intended to help. Now, you just mentioned the unions, and the unions are behind it. And we've got, as you well know, in Flint, Michigan, General Motors, and their workers are now butting heads in a strike. I mean, the union situation has been going down and down and down, right to work states and the rest. And is this like a last gasp for unions? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are unions. I mean, union membership has been on the decline since the 1940s and 50s. So they're basically trying to throw everything against the wall to increase their membership. So that means going after the gig economy, trying to organize them. That's what the Fight for 15 is all about, where they're trying to force McDonald's to basically hand over all of their employees at all their franchisees to the union. And really, they just want to collect dues. And it's funny that you mentioned the GM strike, and it shows you kind of how pernicious unions could be sometimes. Lots of people are, you know, kind of saying the only reason why they're going on strike is a PR move to get the focus away from the UAW corruption, where the current president and the former president, vice president, and lots of local presidents of the UAW have been caught stealing money out of a UAW fund that was meant to train UAW members.
Yeah, wow. It's the unions have done, the unions have not had a lot of good news most recently. And in a way, you can understand now with Donald Trump trying to bring back manufacturing jobs. And I would think, to some extent, because of his attempts to do it, and especially in some of the Rust Belt states, he's going to get a lot of the people that the blue-collar union vote. But despite all of that, getting back to the independent contractor situation, this is going to stifle people's ability to work. I mentioned another occupation is, I guess you would call it home health care, mm-hmm. where a lot of people are hired as independent contractors by an agency, And they'll go into the house, and they will help people that are shut-ins, you know, doing some minor things around them. And I would think that this is going to hurt them as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're caught up in this test because they clearly are performing work that is in the usual business of the hiring company, which is to provide health care. But what's really, kind of makes you wonder the purpose of this legislation is that there's a huge list of occupations and employees who are exempt. You know, doctors are exempt, real estate agents are exempt, licensed hairdressers are exempt, but not truckers, commercial janitors, you know, these home health care workers, nail salon workers, and things like that. So I'm always skeptical when a law establishes a general rule like the ABC test and then follows it with a long list of specific industries or professions that are exempt. So if it's really bad for workers, then why are you exempting all of these groups?
Right.
It really doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. We're talking with Trey Kovacs. He is a policy analyst at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about Assembly Bill 5 in California that would stifle the whole universe of independent contractors. Basically, it would be very hard to be an independent contractor and quite a few jobs out there. Trey, what is where are we right now with this Assembly Bill 5?
Well, so they're still wrangling and lobbying for exemptions from, you know, a number of different industries. But it's passed the House and the Senate, and the governor, right on Labor Day, published an op-ed showing his support for this legislation, basically saying that he'll sign it. So basically, once the wrangling is done and trying to get exemptions, it seems like he'll sign it. Although Uber, Lyft, and I think DoorDash have all committed $30 million each for a ballot measure to have the public vote on this legislation, whether to get rid of it or to keep it. So that's something to keep an eye on moving forward, that it's not necessarily all doom and gloom. Perhaps the people of California will have a little bit more sense than the legislature.
Yeah. Do you think it could wend its way up to the Supreme Court or anything?
Well, so the problem is that recently the California Supreme Court issued a decision that said the ABC test is how you're going to determine an employee or independent contractor. And that was only for wage orders. And what the legislature did, it applied it to the whole labor code.
Yeah.
So it's unlikely that you'll get any reprieve through the courts. And that's why they're going for a ballot measure.
Well, there they go. California's doing everything it can possibly do to stifle businesses in their state. Then they wonder why they're having trouble. Trey Kovacs, it is a delight as always to talk with you. Thank you so very much for coming on. And I know we'll be talking again down the road.
Oh, thanks so much.
Our pleasure. Trey Kovacs, Competitive Enterprise Institute. All right. We are going to take a little break, and when we come back, a black journalist is going to tell us why Donald Trump is not a racist.
Kick the blankets on the floor.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tantalk Radio Network. That's 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tantalk Radio Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, Bowling Stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, and thank you so very much for joining us on this Monday, September the 16th already. Halfway through the month. Boy, time flies. Well, want to remind you, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you want the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you got to visit Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. A great haircut at a price that cannot be beat. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, you're hearing every other comment about Donald Trump when it comes from, especially the Democrats, is that he's a racist. I think they must have said he was a racist in last Thursday's Democratic debate about six or seven times. So now we're supposed to believe, you know, as gospel. And when they ask you to point out when and where he showed to be a racist, they will talk about the Charlottesville, Virginia incident, where he said there were good people on both sides of that statue debate. What? That makes him a racist for saying the truth? There were good people on both sides of the issue, people that sincerely believed that the statues of, I think it was Robert E. Lee, should stay up. They were not racist necessarily at all. They believed in the heritage and the history of the Civil War. And so Trump comes along and says there were good people on both sides of the issue. That's what they point to. And now, when they talk about it, they'll say, and you remember Charlottesville, the white nationalists, as if every single person that was for the statue belonged to the Nazi party or something. It was stupid. It was crazy. Anyway, there is a black journalist by the name of DeRoy Murdoch, and he wrote something for Fox News. And I just wanted to read portions of it to you, where he indeed says that this is a lie. He says Donald Trump is a racist. Democrats deploy that lie more often than commas and periods. He says, look no further than last week's Democratic presidential debate in Houston. Cory Booker declares, quote, we know Donald Trump is a racist, but there is no red badge of courage for calling him that, unquote. He claimed that America has a, quote, president that cannot condemn white supremacy, unquote. And he said, anyone who supports this president is supporting racism. Excuse me, that last quote was from Pete Buttigieg. Now, if I were Trump, I would probably, I would probably be going after them more for that particular series of statements. Because there is nowhere you can find that it's true. Former Congressman Beto O'Rourke said this, we have a white supremacist in the White House, and he poses a mortal threat to people of color all across the country. Now, DeRoy Murdoch says, these and other Democrats deliberately ignore the 25 or more times
Trump condemned racism, denounced white nationalism, attacked anti-Semitism, applauded Jews, embraced blacks, praised Muslims, and preached national unity and love among Americans. And Murdoch says, I repeatedly have documented these statements, events, actions, in tremendous detail, most recently in the National Review. Just last Tuesday, Trump addressed the 2019 National Historically Black Colleges and Universities Week Conference in Washington. He did not merely swing by for a photo op. He spent a half an hour speaking with black educators, detailing his policies to assist teachers there and administrators at these 101 mostly black public and private campuses. For more than 180 years, these historically black colleges, this is Trump talking, HBCUs, have strengthened our country and called America to greatness. He says, your institutions have been pillars of excellence in higher education and engines of advancement for African American citizens. Now, you never hear in the media any of that, do you? You don't know that it's happening. One of the problems was he was out talking to the historically black colleges conference when John Bolton was fired. So the Bolton story is going to make a bigger dent. But still, none of the networks, ABC, CBS, or NBC, on their nightly news that night, after he spoke there at those at the conference, not one of them mentioned it. Not even a moment. They didn't mention anything about it. So this is why DeRoy Murdoch says, that the fix is in on all of this. In his fifth week in office, Murdoch says, Trump explained that he signed an executive order to move the Historically Black College Initiative to the White House, right where it belongs. These and other reforms unfold just steps away from the Oval Office, not in some far-flung federal outpost. So he's certainly fighting on behalf of African Americans. And yet they claim he's a racist. It just doesn't make any sense, he says. So he says the national news media has no interest in highlighting any facts which might undermine that Trump is a racist. The Media Research Center's Brent Baker observed that center furnished this statistical confirmation of the network's irresponsible public affairs coverage. So anyway, there you go. And one other thing that's important. Look at the black unemployment and how it's dropped precipitously under Donald Trump. I mean, I don't know why. I wonder if it's getting through to people, the truth of it. Now, he did say he didn't like Hades, he used an epithet about Haiti, but he didn't say anything racist. I think he used bad language when he called it a you-know-what kind of a country. And he was right. It's a horrible country because it's got all kinds of crime and trouble. And so he said something, but that's not because it's not a race of people he was talking about. It was a country. If he talks badly about Venezuela, does that mean he's anti-Hispanic? Crazy.
African-American friends that I have are growing tired of the racist card that the Dems are putting out there. They're just not buying it anymore.
Yeah.
But they're just going to keep doing it.
But if you say a lie enough times, some people buy it.
Right. But they're just going to keep doing it, and they're not going to let up, and they have nothing else going. I'm surprised it's been a while since some hussy's come out of the corner and saying that she was groped by the president when he was 15 years old or whatever. So, like I said, whatever they can to throw against the wall, they're just going to keep doing it.
They are.
If it were the other way around, they'd be crying, that you know, saying false stuff against them and nothing's been proven. And but it's okay for them to just come out their debates and call them a racist. So,
you know, it's just going to energize people, especially Republicans, to get out the vote. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, we've already got the immigration situation, which I think is going to be, it's going to draw more Republicans to the polls. They do not want to see government benefits handed to people that illegally come into the country.
That is just insane.
It's absolutely insane. And look, every Democratic presidential candidate raised their hand when asked if they would provide those kinds of benefits to illegal immigrants. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Every one. A couple of them waited to look around. I noticed a couple. Did you see? They were looking left. Oh, I better raise my hand.
First.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even Biden. I think Biden waited for a few moments.
Biden didn't understand the question.
No, he probably didn't understand the question.
Or he didn't hear it, one or the other. Are we ordering now?
No,
what are we ordering?
Yeah, I'll take a steak rare.
Double pepperoni, yes.
There you go. So it's so crazy. So crazy to continue down that road and then, you know, use that as part of your process of impeachment. And that's the other thing, of course. They got that Judiciary Committee making a total fool of itself with Jerry Nadler at the helm. They're going to, well, we're not going to impeach him. We're not even going to suggest he be impeached, but we're going to inquire. We are going to inquire as to whether or not he should be impeached. So, I mean, they're going to be running around. It's like a little gerbil running on one of those little wheels. They're just running in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. All right. Now, gun control legislation. And it's a big topic, right? It may come this week. The Trump administration expected to announce a proposal to curb gun violence as soon as this week. But whether or not he's going to get any Democratic support, that's another thing. The White House has been talking to a trio of lawmakers. Chris Murphy, he's a Democrat. Joe Manchin, he's a Democrat. And Pat Toomey, he's a Republican. And they all want tougher background checks. Trump back after the Dayton and El Paso shootings called for gun control legislation. He said, I'm talking about meaningful, write that word, he said, meaningful background checks. But Trump never defined what meaningful meant, and some people feel he may be backing off. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. He has, on the one hand, said he wants, and he has been listening to the background check issue, but on the other hand, he says, but I'm a big, strong supporter of Second Amendment rights. But my question is, well, it's not a question. It's a statement. They're not going to they're not going to curtail these nuts. They're not going to curtail one nut from going out and doing it if he wants to do it. They've got enough background checks right now. And by the way, the people that legally get their guns and are members of the NRA, they've never done anything like this. It's always some nutbag, had nothing to do with the NRA, that goes out, and he's going to get a gun one way or the other, right? Now, it's going to be discussed all the way up to the election. It'll be interesting to see, though, if any further legislation comes out. But to me, it's window dressing. But we'll see what happens. All right, going to take our final break, and when we come back, ballot harvesting, have you ever heard of that term? In California, it's going on. We'll talk about that. And a great top 10.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Just listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the TAN Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. and maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
The Brian Cash Clause Radio Show. More business for your business every Thursday at 2. 106.1 FM, 1340 AM. Local business owners, listen up. We direct more customers through your doors with a printed coupon book and radio show. More business for your business. Call 727-600-4889. That's 727-600-4889.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come on, baby, don't you want... Hey, we're back for the final portion of Freedom Works, and we thank you very much for joining us on this Monday. I want to remind you, by the way, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. You can listen to our show anytime, any place, anywhere, because Big Ed sets up our podcasts. So every show is on there. You'll see who the guest was on our top 10. And you can listen at your leisure. And by the way, we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircuts in Tampa Bay. You got to visit the shop. It's on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Overcash Drive just north of Main Street 580. A great haircut, a great price, and a great place to just sit back and enjoy the ambiance. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, you ever heard of the term ballot harvesting? That's when a person will collect the votes of people that can't make it to the polls. Literally go to the homes, wherever they're living, get their vote, and then go to the polls and drop those votes off. They usually, you know, have a bunch of them. It's called ballot harvesting. And it's basically, in a lot of places, illegal, as it should be. But the Heritage Foundation calls ballot harvesting the tool of choice for vote thieves. And there is an article by Jason Chaffetz. He is a former Republican congressman. He's currently a contributor to Fox News. And he talks a little bit about ballot harvesting in California. He said, during the midterm elections, 2018, Democrats in California and a Republican consultant in North Carolina used ballot harvesting to collect mail-in ballots. Now, here in Florida, we have mail-in balloting, right? You can fill out your ballot and you can stick it in the mailbox. But if you do it that way, you don't have somebody else, a middleman, grabbing your ballot. And that is the issue. Because once, let's say somebody is running around with a basket and says, drop your ballot in here. Once you do that, the chain of custody is, you see what I mean? The integrity of the chain of custody? I would agree that they should outlaw ballot harvesting. So Jason Chaffetz says there's a big difference between what went on in North Carolina and what's going on in California. Congress refused to seat the winner in North Carolina. Now, in that race, it was an election between Mark Harris, a Republican, and Dan McCready, a Democrat. And therefore, a special election was held to replace him. And they, by the way, the Republican won that special election. In California, ballot harvesting was legalized by Democrats in their state legislature. They don't consider it cheating in California. And it was used to flip 7 Republican seats to the Democrats in 2018, according to Chaffetz. Now, Democrats have long dismissed the claim that mail-in ballots are vulnerable to manipulation. Nonetheless, they certainly did not ignore the North Carolina race, in which a Republican campaign operative illegally collected ballots and allegedly destroyed as many as 1,000 of them. Of course, it's not right for either side to do anything like that. Chaffetz says the process of ballot harvesting should be illegal for a very good reason. It violates the chain of custody, exposing the ballot to potential manipulation by these operatives. They could harass voters to turn in ballots, assist them, and he uses that word in quotes, assist them in filling them out, and potentially lose ballots along the way to the precinct, right? Now, the indication that ballot harvesting made the difference in California, according to Chaffetz, can be found in the vote proportions. Studies of absentee voters consistently show they tend to reflect the population or lean slightly to the right. But when ballot harvesting was deployed in California, we saw late ballots break heavily for Democrats. So he thinks there's a little hoi polloi going on there. And I think the whole thing of ballot harvesting, you know, a lot of elderly people, let's be honest, you know, it's easier for them to mail in the ballots, but if they can just get them right to the mailbox, don't have somebody pick them up as a messenger. And because you can see where that, that you know, it would be ripe for fraud. Very, very ripe. So I think that's a big issue. I would like to see enough people get outraged in California and stop that process. Okay, before we go to our top 10, I got to talk to you about this story. There are high school cheerleaders on probation. And why is that? Because on August the 30th, some of them at North Stanley High School in North Carolina posted for a pregame photo holding a banner that said, Trump 2020, make America great again. That was enough to get them suspended. The local newspaper said it was American night at that time at the football game, and students had been encouraged to wear red, white, and blue. So these kids bring, you know, encouraged to do something patriotic, bring that along. Now Trump's our president. What's wrong with unfurling a banner about our president? Apparently there's a lot. And people got offended. And here's what the high school said. Stanley County schools never make political campaign endorsements. These policies ensure that all students, staff, and visitors are able to attend school events in an environment that promotes students and not a particular political viewpoint. So standing up for the president, he's currently president, not about a guy that's running for president. He is president. The Stanley News and Press reports the cheerleaders have been placed on probation for the remainder of the season as a result of the banner. Oh, boy. You know?
And to think these kids probably be voting next year anyway.
Yeah. I mean, this is stifling free speech, among other things. And it's just, what's next? When you raise the American flag, you're going to offend people?
Yeah, that's already happening.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Oh, Lord.
You know, the Democrats don't even put a flag on their stage.
You had mentioned that on the debate. Yeah. That's very interesting that they wouldn't put an American flag in the background.
They didn't wear them. I believe they didn't wear them on their...
lapels?
Yeah. Either.
Wow. Even our friend Biden didn't wear one?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I have to look on the videotape one of these days. All right, it's time for our top 10, Ed. And as usual, when we get to number one, I'm going to ask you to tell us who, what state this is. But these are the top 10 cheapest states to buy a home. Comes from smartasset.com. All right? So here we go.
cheapest states to buy a home. Number 10. Ohio is the 10th cheapest. Has a low property tax rate. Let's see what else. Top 10 rate for median pricing per square foot. All right. There is a tie for the next one, so we'll just say number 8. One of them is South Carolina. 8th place, effective property tax rate of just 0.55%. It's the 5th lowest in the study. It also has the 9th lowest median value. So it's a nice place to live, I guess. All right, number 8 again. Missouri, tying with South Carolina. Average closing costs come to about $2,600, third lowest in the metric. All right, number 7. Kentucky, not surprised. The Bluegrass State comes in 7th, 4th lowest average closing costs when you're going to buy a home. And you know, closing costs can be a lot of money. They can be like $4,000, $5,000, $7,000, obviously depending upon the price of the home. Okay, number 6. The Hoosier State, right next door to Kentucky. Indiana. Average closing costs in Indiana, about $2,700. It's the lowest of all the top 10, by the way. Number 5. Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Lots of oil out there. And Oklahoma's median value for the bottom third of all home values in the state is just $49,500. Wow. All right. Number 4. Mississippi. Not surprisingly, Mississippi is, economically kind of at the bottom, towards the bottom. But it's one of the very cheapest states to buy a home. Number 3. Another southern state, Alabama. Alabama ranks 3rd with the 2nd lowest effective tax rate. Tax rate. You know, the property's taxes that you pay. Number 2. Arkansas. Indeed. These are all right next to each other. 2nd lowest median listing price in the entire study. The average price there, $179,900. Okay. Ed, what do you think is the number 1 cheapest state to buy a home?
I'm going to go with North Carolina.
That's a good guess. It really is. But it's incorrect.
Well,
West Virginia.
Wow.
Top state, West Virginia, where the coal is, right? A median listing price of just $169,000. Wow. Go to West Virginia and live well, my friends. All right, thank you very much for joining us. We will be back on Wednesday. And always remember, will you, that freedom works.
Oh, baby, don't you want to go back to that same old place?